relationship with Jesus, we also know that part of that relationship means that we are going to communicate with each other. He's going to communicate with us, and we're going to communicate with him. So when it comes to listening, if we are ever going to get into a place where we can survive shipwrecks or maybe even miss them altogether, then what we need to learn to do is listen. Everybody say listen. Raise your hand if you've ever been told that you are not a good listener. How many of you have ever had your kids tell you that? How many husbands ever had their wives tell you that? Yep, you just are not a good listener. My son and I was in a dispute here just a little while back, and of course he said, Dad, you just won't listen to me. And here was the truth, I wasn't going to listen to him. I had made up my mind I was not going to listen to his ignorance. I was not going to engage in an ignorant conversation with somebody who did not know anything about what they were talking about. So tonight I want to talk to you about listening. Acts chapter 27, verses 21 through 26. These are some good verses, and we really begin to see a turnaround in this whole series of events that is happening here in this text. And as things have gone from bad to worse, and as things begin to really fall apart, and they really begin to experience some difficulty, this is the point in the story that things begin to turn around, not just for Paul, but for everybody. And there's a specific reason that things begin to turn around. I want to share with you. It's because the people who were on this ship began to listen. Remember, they had not listened to Paul earlier when Paul had cautioned them about the dangers of moving forward. They had rejected his advice. They had not cared to listen to the man of God who he was. He was not just a criminal. And I was thinking about that this afternoon. Maybe part of the reason why they didn't listen to him the first time that he tried to caution them, they may have thought, well, he's just trying to avoid. Because remember, he was a prisoner at this particular time. Maybe they was thinking within their mind, he's just trying to avoid going and having to stand trial before Caesar or whatever it was. So they disregarded what he had to say. And the whole reason they were in the mess that they were in was because they didn't listen to the person who they should have listened to. And so now we found them in a great storm. We found them, they've thrown cargo overboard. We have found them taking ginormous ropes and wrapping them around the hull of the ship. We found them lowering, we found them doing all the things that they naturally were trained to do as sailors. And all those things had still ended them in a great disaster. They were about to go, they were under some pressure, man. They were going to go down. And in fact, even though they had heard and even though they had listened, that had not changed things. They were still going to go down. And it was a good thing that they did listen to Paul when they did, because his words brought strength. Everybody say strength. And his words brought courage. And I'm led to believe that they could have perished had they chose not to listen to Paul. They could have perished, even though God was making a way for them to be saved. After they had gone a long time without food, so this storm had raged on for many days. They had lost all hope of being saved. They had lost all hope of the storm passing by. After they had gone on for many days without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage." Everybody say, he's talking again. That's what he's doing. He's telling them, look, I told you that this was going to happen. But unlike most of us, when we say those words to somebody, how many of you have ever told somebody, I told you this was going to happen? And Paul was not just coming into a place of, I told you so attitude. What's going on here? You guys do this a lot? I told you so. You believe these two dear people have conversations like that? It's hard to imagine, but I'm sure in the privacy of their own home, I'm sure there's times when they have the same kind of conversations that others have had. And Paul was not just telling people, he didn't just have an arrogant attitude. He did point out to them, you should have listened. But then he took it one step further, as we all should do, and not just offer to people the idea that we were right and you were wrong, but he said, I got something else that I need to tell you. And he goes on to say, but I urge you, even though you didn't listen to me before, I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Everybody say, thank God. Not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Now, as I said to you before, Paul had tried to talk to these guys in the past, as they were tied down at the pier at the port, getting ready to set sail. He, in his spirit, knew that something was not right. Even though it looked favorable, even though it looked like it was the right thing to do, something in his spirit gave him a check. And he communicated that to the captain. He communicated that to everybody. They didn't listen. They set out sail, and now they're in a mess. And he's coming back now because he listened. Everybody say, Paul listened. Paul was not just expecting people to listen to him. The reason Paul was expecting people to listen to him was because Paul had already heard from God. And he had heard from somebody. He had been listening. So here's the thing, before we expect others to listen to us, how many of you know you better have something of value to say? We need to have a word before we try to give a word, right? We need to have some encouragement before we try to give encouragement. And this is what was going on here. He had cautioned, they didn't listen, and now this whole mess that they were in was a direct result of them not listening. Now, I want to share with you some verses from the book of Proverbs that speaks primarily about listening. There ever been a time in your life where you realize, man, I wish I would have just listened? Probably not. I know I have. I have had many things go wrong in my life, many issues come up, not just before I knew Jesus, but even now knowing Jesus, there have been times in my life where I should have just listened. It could have saved me, you know, so many headaches. Everybody say headaches. But because I didn't listen, because I was quick to speak, how many of you know the Bible doesn't say be quick to speak, the Bible says be quick to listen. And when we get quick to speak, we get ourselves in trouble. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. And this first few chapters of Proverbs are really good chapters to read in light of the topic of listening, because it's mentioned multiple times. The Bible says in Proverbs 1, 8, 9, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be garland to grace your neck and a chain to adorn your neck. They will be garland, rather, garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. I want to ask a question. How many of you ever had your mom or your dad, when you were younger, advise something to you or sternly suggest something to you, and you ignored them, and once you grew up, wish you would have listened? Man alive. You know, all the times I thought that my mom was just trying to control my life, when I finally came to my senses, what I learned was she was trying to save me. She was trying to keep me from destroying myself and things that she knew mattered that I just didn't think did. And I've often had some grown men tell me, you know, I can remember when we were first, Kelly and I were first parents, man, me and the boys, they just thought I was the coolest thing next to sliced bread. And then something happened one day, they woke up and they just thought, man, my dad is a nerd. I don't want nothing. He's a weirdo. I don't want nothing to do with him. And I can remember talking about this before, and some other men have come up and said, don't worry, Pastor Richard, that will change when they turn about 25. They'll start to realize just how smart you have gotten in the last few years. And in reality, what happens is as we grow up, what we really start to do is we start to become aware of the wisdom of our elders. I can remember being young in the ministry and wanting to do things the way I thought they should be done. But having somebody in my life, Pastor George, to maybe just share a different perspective of things and learning to listen out of respect, not always because I thought he was right, out of respect, being saved from major, major problems. My son, listen to your father's instructions. Proverbs 4, 1 and 2 says, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teachings. How many of you know God has a way of teaching his children? And it's not because God wants our life to be boring. God wants our life to be good. And God wants our life to be blessed. And the things that God tells us to do and the things that God tells us not to do are not to take away from our life. It's to make our life the best that it could possibly be. But yet some of the things that God would tell us not to engage in at times seems like the things that we would enjoy engaging in. And it doesn't make sense to us at that moment in life to say no to the things that God tells us to say no to. or to resist the things that God tells us to resist. For instance, now I'm not just talking to young people. How many of you have ever been mad at somebody and had some dirt on them that you could use to make other people feel about that person the way you feel about that person? Raise your hand if you've ever had an opportunity like that. And what's the Word of God say? The Word of God says that we should not tear down our brothers and sisters, but we should what? Build them up. The Word of God says that we shouldn't be backbiters, that we shouldn't be slanderers, that we shouldn't be those things. And at times when we've been hurt by somebody and when we've been angered by somebody, when we've been offended by somebody, it seems like the right thing to do to retaliate. But what does the Word of God say? What is God's instruction? Don't repay evil with evil, but rather repay evil with good. And so there's times when what God instructs us to do doesn't make sense to us, but everybody say we need to listen to our Father's instructions. Listen to our Father's instructions. Proverbs 4:10. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Man. God says that if we do things His way, if we listen to His instructions and live the life that He's called us to live, that we will add years, that we will live long life. And I know that sometimes we disregard these things, but you know, when you think about the things that God tells us not to engage in, could it be that the reason God doesn't want us to engage in those things is because God knows those things will shorten our life? Even though God has determined in His mind what our life should consist of, when we reject God's way of doing things, we lose out on what God intends for us. Not just days. Some people lose years of their life and then die early, and people say, well, God took them home early. No. Maybe the reason that they lost years of life was because they chose to live a life that was contrary to the way God told them to live. How many of you believe that? And so we want to learn to listen to the instruction of our Father. Think of the things that could have been avoided in your life. I was doing this today, man, I could have made a long list. I could have made a real long list because I was a real thick-skulled, hard-headed boy. Still can be, but I have tend to learn some things that I did not know when I was at least in my early 20s, but I was like talking to a brick wall. But think of the things that could be avoided in a person's life if they would have just listened to sound advice. Think about the number of divorces that occurred that could have been completely avoided had people just listened to one another. Think about the number of infidelities that occurred. Men cheating on their wives or wives cheating on their men simply because they didn't listen. What do I mean by that? How many of you know there are just certain places you should never be? For instance, if you are a man, you should never, ever, ever be alone with a member of the opposite sex. And it's not because you're a pervert, if you're married especially. It's not because all men are dirty, filthy perverts, but that's giving way for the enemy. Do you understand what we're talking about? And let me just say something to you. And yet there have been great men of God, used of God, anointed of God, that disregarded God's instruction in these things and found themselves in places that they never should have been. They never even should have been in those places. But they ignored God's instructions because somehow, some way, they thought they were strong enough. And they found themselves in a dangerous place. They found themselves in a situation that in their mind they thought they could control or contain. Guess what happened? They fell. They found themselves engaging. There's been other men that maybe, other men or women that maybe didn't fall into sin, but what's it look like to people? You know, I have a friend trying to minister to him, trying to help him. And man, I'll tell you, sometimes you just want to grab people and shake some sense into them or slap the stupid out of them, whatever you want to call it. This guy, such a good guy. I mean, he really is just a wonderful man and has a heart that God could really take and use for the kingdom. The other day, we're together and we're talking. I'm trying to, you know, build him up a little bit and help him just get moving in the right direction, because like most people, sometimes he needs a kickstart. You know what I'm saying? He needs a kickstart. And he was telling me about all these problems that he had recently had in his life. And he's had 100 problems in the last week. Hundreds of problems. He told me, man, you know, this happened, and then this happened to me. And as he's starting off the story, the first thing I notice is the person that he tells me he's with. And the minute he mentioned to me the person that he was with, it all made sense why all these other things were happening in his life. And all the stuff that had happened in his life could have been avoided had he just not been with those people. You know, I mean, just major, major problems. Think of the things that could have been lost. How many of you have ever lost money because you didn't listen? How many of you have ever had legal problems because you didn't listen to somebody? How many of you ever had relationship breakdowns that somebody even warned you not to do? Have you ever had a marriage problem? Probably not, but maybe, you know, we're possibility here. And you were talking to one of your friends about it, and they said to you, look, don't be like that. Don't be so hard-hearted. Don't be so calloused. Don't feel the need to be right all the time, but you refuse to listen to your friend, and the problem just keeps going on and going on. Raise your hand if you've ever had that happen. Relationships have been lost over that, just destroyed over these kind of things. Shame from the mistakes that we've made. Not to mention, I can't even imagine how many heartaches have come from just not listening. How much disappointment was birthed through an inability for people to listen. Major setbacks, and I've already talked to you about health problems. I'm going to throw something out there to you now. Please, I used to smoke cigarettes. I used to do a lot of things. I don't smoke cigarettes no more. And I've shared with you guys on multiple occasions, the primary reason I don't smoke cigarettes has nothing to do with sin at all. For me, it's not a sin issue. It's a sense issue. Everybody say sense. Good sense says do not do something that has been proven to take 7 minutes off your life every time you smoke one. Good night. If you want to die early, go out and stand in front of a semi and get it over with. Save us all the taxpayers. Save them all some money. And we're the ones who's going to have to pay for your chemotherapy. We're the ones who's going to have to pay for your lung transplant. We're the one who's going to have to pay for that stuff. You're robbing from us when you do that kind of stuff. And it just doesn't make sense for people to ignore the amount of information that is out there today about certain things, and people just disregard it. And in their minds, they think, well, that will never happen to me. How many of you know somebody like that? Can I go ahead and burst the bubbles of people who think like that? You're not that special. I promise you, you're not so special that it won't happen to you. It will happen to you. You know, I recently was teasing my wife about something. I was just playing around with her, telling her, honey, boy, your pants are getting a little bit tighter than they've been lately. You put on a few pounds, honey. Just poking at her. I know, you guys, that's mean. I know that. I wasn't doing it to be mean. I was just teasing her. And she'd been going to the Y with me. We'd been working out together, and she had not been going. And I told her, I think, man, I think you're putting on a few pounds, honey. And I was teasing her. She kept telling me, shut up, but I wasn't listening. I came home one day, and I found this note in the bathroom right above the scale. Can you read that? Let me tell you what that says. It says, a recent study found that women who carry a little extra weight live longer than the men who mention it. Can I tell you, I listened. I almost felt like she was threatening me. I asked her when she came home from work, Kelly, what's this all about? And she said, well, I found that and thought it would do good for you to read it. Everybody say, learn to listen. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. The Bible says, my dear brothers and sisters, who's he talking to here? Who's he talking to here? He's talking to us. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. So what he's really doing is giving us a good application for life. He's given us something good, a good point, a good principle that we should live our lives by. And this is what he says. Everyone. So raise your hand if you fall into that category. Every one of us should be what? Should be quick to listen. We should all be quick to listen. And not just to people, not just to our spouses, but we should be quick to listen to God, and we definitely should be quick to listen to the people that we love, the people around us. Every one of us should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, because man's anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now, I want you to know something. Most people are not quick to listen. Even though some people are not as outspoken as others, that does not mean that by nature we are just quick listeners. That's why James encourages us, please take note of this, be quick to listen. Most people just want to be heard. And that's why they talk about themselves all the time. That's why they brag about what they're doing all the time. All these things, they want to be heard. But what God wants is not for us to feel the need to be heard or for us to feel the need to be recognized, but for us to be like Him and be quick to listen. Everybody say, learn to listen. Paul said, but I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Now, if we're going to learn how to survive shipwrecks, if we are really going to learn how to make it, what we have to do is we have to realize to listen to what is being talked about here. These guys did not listen when he warned them at first. And they could have sat around and they could have reveled in their past failures. And I'm sure it was tempting for them to do that. Well, man, I wish we would have just listened the last time, but here we are now. It's too late. Why bother? It's never too late to start listening to good advice. It's never too late to listen to sound counsel and begin to make changes right now. Everybody say amen. And you may be in a mess in your marriage. You may be in a mess in your own personal life. But if you start listening to good counsel, and not just listening, but putting into practice the things that are suggested. You know, the very next verse in James chapter 1 is, James says, be quick to listen, be slow to speak, be slow to anger. Guess what the next verse is? Be doers. Be doers of the word. It's not just about sitting down and being patient and learning to listen. Then it's about taking what we've been told, taking what we've heard, and putting it into practice in our lives. And if we do that, no matter how messed up your situation is, no matter how messed up your life is, the right things put into practice will bring forth the right results. If you believe that, say amen. So if we're going to survive, we must learn not to revel in past failure and fear, but to keep up our courage. And how many of you know, listening to the right things is what produces courage in your life? Take, for instance, the marriage that's struggling, and the guy goes to work, and he tells everybody that he works with, or he tells his friends that he works with anyway, well, this is what she did to me last night. And now he listens to some bonehead who should never have a platform to speak to anybody about marriage. And he says, you know what? You just need to get away. What you ought to do is just go out and get drunk with me tonight. Teach that woman a lesson. Man, I can't tell you the number of guys that listen to people like that. You know what you ought to do? Just don't give her no money no more. You ought to just lock the doors. Change the lock on the doors, and when she comes home, put the fear of God in her. No, let me tell you, that is not the best route to take to resolve your marriage issues. How about the person who's... Somebody please say amen. But when we listen to the wrong people, or how about the wife who goes to work and talks to her friends about what's going on in their family and in their marriage, and they're listening to the wrong people. And so what they're hearing is, he's never going to change. You need to get away from him now. It's never going to be any different. And that's what she's hearing. And guess what? That's not producing courage in her. That's not building her up. That's not bringing her to a place where she will find courage to endure what she's up against. So we need to make sure that the people that we're listening to are saying things to us that will put courage inside of us. Can I tell you that courage can come from a simple word? The right thing said can cause courage to come alive in somebody. After we've made up our mind to not revel in past failures and fear, after we've made up our mind that even though we've not listened, and even though maybe the very problems that we're experiencing are a direct result of our rebellion to the things that we've been told to do, can't revel in the past, you got to make up your mind to move forward. After that, we have to learn the importance of repentance. Everybody say repentance. And really, that's what we see saved these sailors' lives. They repented. And they realized, we should have listened to you. Man, if we'd have listened to you, we would be ported up. We'd be on some dock somewhere. And even though it wouldn't be where we'd want to be, at least we would not be in the heart of this storm, throwing over the cargo and losing everything. Man, it would be much better had we listened. But instead of just groveling over that, they actually said, we're going to listen to you this time. Everybody say repentance. That's a change of heart, a change of mind. And they're actually, it wasn't, there was more than them just being sorry. See, repentance, if it's really repentance, has to bring a change of action. If there's no change of direction, then repentance didn't occur. And sometimes people think they repented just because they cried or just because they felt guilty. No, genuine repentance leads to a change of heart, a change of mind, and a change of action. And if there's no change of action, then there was no repentance. You know, I've learned in life from my time that I spent in prison and jail, most people are not repentant, at least most criminals are not repentant. They're just sorry that they got caught. The only thing they're really sorry about is they didn't get away with it. They wish they would have done it differently. They wish they would have gotten, you see what I'm saying? That's not repentance. You can see repentance in a person because they care deeply about their wrongs they've committed, so much so that they're moving in a different direction. If you believe that, say amen. Paul knew all about mistakes. He knew all about making mistakes. He knew all about not listening. But he also knew what it was like to repent and to make good choices and to move in a different direction. Paul knew how to take courage in the Lord. Understand that when Paul was in the same boat, he was in the same boat that these sailors was in. He was going through the same storm that these sailors were going through. But what did he do? Instead of just throwing his hands up in the air and saying, well, we're surely going to perish, what did he do? He found a quiet place. Let me ask you, why did Paul find a quiet place? Because he knew that in order for him to survive this shipwreck, he knew that in order for him to make it through this storm, he was going to have to hear from God. There was the potential and probably the temptation for him to be afraid. Imagine what it would be like for this guy who was a tent maker. He did not know the sea the way these sailors knew the sea. And he sees these people who are experienced panicking. He sees these people who should know how to handle a storm panicking, terrified. It would only lead to him being terrified. You ever been in a situation before where everybody was panicking? Everybody just melting down. You know, when that happens, here's what you need to do. Get away. Find a quiet place. Step out of all the chaos and all the emotion and get into a place where you can listen. Not to all the chaos, not to all the turmoil, not to all that raw emotion that is flesh-led, but get into a place where you can listen for God. Everybody say, listen for God. Because a word from God, whereas listening to the chaos, listening to the panic, listening to everybody else's terrified emotions, guess what that produces in us? Fear, worry, all those things that we can't control. But when we can remove ourselves from situations like that and just find just a moment, it does not take hours, weeks, days, or months to hear from God when you're determined to hear from God. You just get away, you just say, God, I need you to strengthen me right now. And nobody knows what to do. And if we don't hear from you, we're going to make the wrong decision. You know, part of being a leader, part of leadership is learning how to lead like that. Getting away from all. And listen, you may not be a leader of a church, but you're the leader of your life. And if you're ever going to overcome all the things, and men, you're a leader of your family. And if you're ever going to be able to overcome all the restlessness of life, you're going to have to learn to get away from all the other things that are trying to enter into your mind and get into a quiet place and listen to God. That's what Paul had learned to do. And when everybody else was panicking, his life was different because he had found courage. Let me ask you, where did his courage come from? Where do you think courage came from in his life? It wasn't because he knew more than them. He didn't know half as much about sailing as they did. His courage came because he had heard from God. And he had confidence in the God that spoke to him. He had confidence in that God's ability to spare them and to save them and to secure them. In fact, he even said, "The God whom I serve, he sent an angel to talk to me last night. And that angel told me that we will not perish, and I believe in my God." See, one thing that I want to stress to you tonight is God's voice prevails over the storms of life. Look up here, guys. We're all going to experience them, every one of us. God's voice prevails over the sound of the wind. God's voice prevails over the crashing of the sea. God's voice prevails. Listen to these verses. Genesis 15:1. "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Joshua 8:1. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not." Everybody say, fear not. Fear not. "Neither be dismayed." All these men, when they heard these things said to them, were in a position that they had never been in before. They were in water that was uncharted for their life. They were up against things that they did not know to handle. There were things taking place in their life that they did not know how to resolve. And they heard from God. And the first thing that God said to them is what? Fear not. Because human nature is to be afraid. Human nature is to shrink back. But the wonderful thing about God is God knows how to free us from fear. Joshua 10:8, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into your hand." Joshua 10:25, "And Joshua said unto the people, fear not, neither be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage." Everybody say, fear not. Paul said these words later in Acts chapter 27. He said, "For last night an angel of the Lord to whom I, or angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me." Everybody say, Paul knew who to listen to. He knew how to listen. Paul knew who he belonged to. Paul knew who he served. And when you belong to God, God has a responsibility to protect you, to keep you safe, if you'll listen to him. And even when things do come into our lives to destroy us. And I want everybody to know something. There will be things that come into your life with the purpose of destroying you. That's why they came. The Bible says the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. There will be situations that become part of our surroundings that are there to destroy us. You know, there are things happening right now in the world of Christianity that's trying to destroy the church. Trying to destroy it. But what we have to understand and what we have to realize, we belong to somebody. Glory to God. We belong to somebody. And the somebody we belong to is more than able to protect us. He's more than able to preserve us. He's more than able. Somebody say amen. Paul learned how to listen. He knew how to listen. He knew who he belonged to, and he knew who he served. You know, when we go through the things that we go through in life, and everybody in here knows what I'm talking about, we got to remind ourselves these things. I am not trusting in my own ability to get me through these things in life. I belong to God. And even though the things that we sometimes face, they could destroy a person, they're not going to destroy us. Because we belong to God. Everybody say amen. They're not going to destroy us. They're not going to destroy you. They're not going to destroy your family. They could destroy somebody else. And they could destroy you if you choose not to listen to God. If you choose not to listen to good counsel. If you choose not to listen to the instructions of your father. Like we read about in Proverbs chapter 4. They could destroy you. But if you, like Paul, choose to listen to God, they will not harm you. They will turn around and work out for your deliverance. If you believe that, say amen. I love these verses right here. And then Paul said, don't be afraid. And the angel said, Paul, don't be afraid. for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. What's more, God, in his goodness, has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. So take courage, for I believe God, it will be just as he said. You know, the other people in this ship, they may not have known God. They may not have feared God. They may not have listened to God. But God was going to spare their lives because of who they were connected to. Boy, let me just say something to you. When your life is falling apart, get connected to somebody who has the favor of God in their life. I cannot tell you how important this is. Why? And this is a Bible principle. This is not some hokey pokey message. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life in abundance to the full till it overflows. And when I'm going through heartache, when I'm going through difficulty, and then I get next to somebody who's living in the overflow, what happens with what's flowing out of them? It starts to affect me. It starts to impact me. It starts to bring change into my life. And when difficulty is in your life, find somebody who has God's favor. Find somebody when your marriage is going through difficulty who has a good marriage. Find somebody who is living like Bob and Rose. They've been married a little while, and they appear to be pretty happy. So if anybody can smile like Rose that's been with somebody like Bob for so long, I'm telling you, it can be done. Say amen. I mean, I thought you were going to jump up and dance the aisles when I said that. It can be done. And when we're young and when we don't, and you know, Bob probably wasn't always a good listener. But over the years, you've learned, haven't you? Huh? She pulled his hairs out one by one until he learned to listen. And it did better than some folks because he still got a few left. Some men are complete. Bob J., you better learn to listen or you're going to have some less hair than you have right now because Phyllis is going to pull them. When we're young and we don't know how to listen to sense, we don't know how to listen to reason, what we need to do is get around somebody who has some sense, who has some favor in those areas, and listen to them. In all areas of life, this transcends everything. When you are about to sink, get connected to people who have the favor of God in their life. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, when you're going, you know, I've seen this happen in people's lives before. You've all seen it. You've all seen people like Shane Capps come into this church. His life is unraveling. And it wasn't church that saved his life. It was him getting connected with God and getting connected with people and all of that favor from their lives starting to spill over into his life. Him taking into consideration the things that are being suggested, putting them into practice. Next thing you know, a person's life is changed by that. This is how it works. If you believe that, say amen. Another thing we need to do when we're beginning to sink and our life is unraveling is get connected to people who believe God. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, I believe God. God said we're not going to drown. God said we're not going to perish. And I believe God. When your faith is weak, when the mountains in your life seem to be bigger than you could ever overcome, get around somebody whose faith is stronger than yours. Get around somebody who has been there, done that, got the t-shirt, and's not afraid to go through it again with you. Get around people who believe God. And number three, get connected to people who hear God. Man, think what kind of a mess these guys would have been in had somebody on that boat not heard from the Lord. They'd have died. I can remember one time my wife had said to me, honey, I'm so glad. I am so glad because you know, as crazy as I can get, one thing that I've learned in life, and I really do, I want you all to know, I believe that this is because of the things that brought me to where I am today. I had to learn to listen to God. I had to. I was in a position where there was nothing left but listening to God. I can remember my wife telling me, you know, I just love how when things get crazy, you can just be still and just hear the right thing and just say the right thing and it just changes everything. We need to be around people who hear from God. Because I'm telling you, one word from God changes everything. It makes the difference. You know, when you listen to what other people say, it can add to your emotions. But when you listen to God, I mean, even in the craziness of life, what's God say? Peace, be still. Fear not. Don't be dismayed. It's not going to turn out for you the way it's turned out for everybody else. You're mine. You belong to me. You serve me. I'm your Father. I'm going to take care of it. Somebody say amen. Amen. No matter how far you are at sea, you're never beyond God's mercy to reach you. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's such a powerful verse here. The Bible says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. Number two, and I love these verses as well, God knows how to get help to us. We can find courage in these things. There's never any place you're going to be that God's mercy can't reach you. There's never going to be any situation that you're in that is beyond God's ability to get the help that you need to you. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Why is it that we don't fear? Because we know who our God is. We know who our God is. We know that our God is an ever-present help in a time of need. Amen? That's why we don't fear. It's not that we don't find ourselves in situations that could lead us to fearing, but the reason that we face these situations with a different attitude, the reason that we're able to not fear is because we know who we serve. Our God is an ever-present help. Everybody say, my God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. He's a refuge. What does that mean? It means God is a hiding place. When there is somebody or something out to harm you, God is a safe haven. You can run to Him and find refuge from the shelter or find shelter from the storm. As I said, there will be things that come as a direct attack from the enemy to destroy our lives. And when they do, we don't have to just outlast the storm. We have one we can run to and hide in so that the storm doesn't even affect us. Did it just get darker in here? Stand up on your feet if you would, please. Learn to listen. Let's just bow our heads for a little bit and close our eyes. I want to share with you a couple things. First thing we need to realize is that God does want to speak to us. Primary reason most people don't hear from God is because most people aren't listening to God. Let me tell you the primary reason why Christians don't hear from God. They won't shut up long enough. Prayer is not just about us verbalizing our needs to God. It is about us listening to God as well. We have so often taught people that prayer is about taking our prayer needs to the Lord and asking God to meet our needs. And that's part of prayer. But the other part of prayer then is us setting and being still and listening to God to communicate back to us. Sometimes the things that we're praying for, the answer to that prayer is not what we think it is. Sometimes the answer is the word from God that will strengthen us and change our point of view. And you never get that if you don't stop and listen. So we need to learn to listen. Everybody say, learn to listen. God wants to talk to us. Next thing I want to say to you this evening, in every person's life in this place today, God has put people in your life that He will use as a mouthpiece to get instruction into your life. You know, the sad thing about people my age, and there's some here tonight, I see many people here my age, in their 30s, in their 40s. The saddest thing about people my age is they do everything they can not to connect with people who could help them. They stay distant. It's hard to get people my age to commit and connect with other people. For obvious reasons, sometimes people just don't feel like they have anything in common with church people. Sometimes they just don't feel like church people would accept them or the church people would understand them. But the reality is this, it doesn't matter if they understand you. You need them. You need them in your life. And so we need to learn that there are people in every one of our lives that God has placed there as a mouthpiece for Him, somebody to encourage you, somebody to build you up. And those are the kind of people that you need to be around. If you believe that, say amen. And those are the people that you need to surround yourselves with. Now, you know, you look over here tonight, you see six or eight people over here. Six people, but Larry and Skip make up two apiece, so that's why I said eight. Watch it now. I can outrun you. You might be able to whoop me, but I don't think you can catch me. They stick together. You see that? They stick together. You know why they stick together? God uses them to build each other up, to encourage one another, to bring joy into each other's lives. There's something about finding people like that and surrounding yourself with it. It's needed. It's needed. So we need to listen to God. We need to learn to listen to each other. Say amen. We need to learn to listen to the Word. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And let's just lift up a hand, if not both hands. Just simply say, Lord Jesus, give me ears to hear and a heart to receive your word. I don't want to be ignorant, and I want to avoid and survive the storms of this life. And in order to do so, I need to learn to listen to you and to other people who have been there and heard from you and survived. And so I ask you now, help me to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Free me from the desire to always be heard, and bring me into a desire of always wanting to listen to you and to your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glad you came tonight. Hey, don't forget, a couple Sunday nights from now, we're going to have that Christmas program, a park bench Christmas. I want to invite everybody out and invite some of your friends. It's going to be a real good time, so we look forward to that. Have a great week, guys, and listen. If you hear from God, come back and tell us what you heard. We're at.